Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the heart of WFHR, Pam Hilke.
Good morning.
Hey, Pam.
Good,
good to have you with us.
Yes,
thanks so much
nice
for joining us. We are also joined. We got another member joining us. We got our good friend Paul from the Weather Eye Weather Center with us right now. Good morning, Paul. Paul, are you there? All right. I don't know what is going on with our connection with Paul here. He has not been able to hear us the last couple of days, and I can't figure out what it is about this system that is doing that, because we've gotten every other phone call. Everybody else that's been calling up, we've been able to get, but we haven't been able, we hear him, but he doesn't hear us.
Yeah, that's weird.
Got to reach out to him. We got to get him on, because we've got some things going on, I think, with our weather. I'm not 100% on that. I've not been getting a backup on that, but we'll find out. We'll figure it out. We're going to have some good forecasts for you going into the new year. It's going to be exciting. We've got some really fun things going on in 2024 that we'll be touching on a little bit as we're leading into the new year. We want to welcome in Pam Hilke. Good to have you here, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Saw the sun out there. We're going to have sunshine for a change.
For a morning, yeah. I can't remember the last time you were in with us, Pam, but it's been a while.
I think it has been.
I don't know if the sun was out the last time, but it's nice that the sun came out the first time in like weeks, or it feels like at least.
It seems like it, right.
Yeah. And I don't think you and Melissa have been able to be on the air together yet. So that'll be fun.
I don't think we have.
No, I don't. I believe so.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
We're looking forward to it.
We got a lot to do today. We are going to get to. We're going to have, of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in just a little bit. Looking forward to that one. Also want to get into New Year's resolutions, the top reasons your New Year's resolution may not happen and how we can help you with that maybe. Get into all those things. In the towards the end of the hour here, we will have, of course, our friends from Quality Plus Printing joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Damn, it's Wednesday already.
Yeah, it did, I know. It snuck up on me, too. I did not realize it was Wednesday until I jumped on the air, actually. I was oh, yeah, it's Wednesday. There we go.
Right. Yesterday it was Tuesday, not Monday.
Yeah, it just,
and I spent most of the day saying, Happy Monday.
I want to get into a couple of other things with you, too, as well. I've got some entertainment news we're going to touch on that's going to be fun. And also want to touch on in the 9 o'clock hour, different things, different New Year's events up and down the state here in Wisconsin. Did some reporting this weekend with our friends at Travel Wisconsin. Talked to them. Had a really good conversation, actually, with a couple of people there, including, why are you there? It's it's Christmas weekend. Why are you working?
Yeah.
And they asked me the same thing. So we'll be talking about that a little bit. That's going to be a lot of fun. All these things coming up. But I want to start with something that I think Melissa is very good at, whether she realizes it or not, and Pam is an ace at. Pam could teach a master class at this, everybody.
Oh, dear.
Small talk.
Oh.
If you listen to me for 5 seconds, especially after 20-some years in radio and a good 7 or 8 in talk radio, I don't abbreviate anything. I'm horrible at this. I'm bad at elevator talk. You know, because when I think of small talk, this first thing I think of is elevator talk. You get in the elevator, how you doing? Maybe you smile. Yeah, that's about it, right? But small talk is one of those things that I marvel at people that are very good at it. Because, you know, Melissa does this all the time, I think, where it's a conversation that takes me about 20 minutes to describe. She's done in a second. you know, and still hitting the point, still getting all the key things in there. So I did a little homework on this, a little research on small talk, and I came across a really interesting article about the number one phrase people who are good at small talk always use. This is according to Stanford University.
Okay.
So do you two agree with me, though, that you both think you are good at small talk? Or do you like, what is he talking about? Melissa, do you think?
Yeah.
Melissa.
I have my moments. Sometimes I have to work at small talk.
Okay. Yeah.
In social settings, I'm not great at it necessarily if I don't, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm not in the mood, let's just put it that way.
Well, yeah. I think that is a different category. Yes. Agreed. Yes. Pam, how about you? Because I see you up there at that front desk for over almost 20. We've worked together almost my whole career in radio.
Right.
And I watched you for so long up there. And you and Carl had this mastered where from at the time, Morning Magazine, where they would come in, you would set them up and he would knock them down kind of thing, you know, where you got them calm and relaxed. They come in here and Carl is just, you know, handles his business with them and they leave smiling and happy. Mm-hmm. Do you think you're good at this?
I guess so. You know, we have our guests that come in and I'll just have a little conversation with them.
Yeah.
And most of them I know from, you know, years on, or some of them are just people that I've known for only a few years, or some people I don't even know, but I guess I can just strike up a conversation in that time period.
It's a talent. It really is.
It's a great skill to have.
And it's something that I don't know. According to the experts, it's something that you can master, but it's not something that everybody necessarily has in their wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. For me, I think part of what makes me a good interviewer is the follow-up questions and thinking of those things, not so much in small talk. Not so much, you know, how's the weather? Well, it's great. Well, actually, you know, out in the East Coast right now, it is just coming down like crazy. Like, no, slow down. I just asked how the weather. Tell me the temp.
It doesn't need to be a one-sided conversation, James.
Right. So small talk might seem trivial, but it can deliver big results. It can help us forge new or deeper connections with others by allowing us to discover unexpected areas of common interest. It can enable us to establish or reinforce our personal reputations, giving us an opportunity to demonstrate warmth and empathy. And a Stanford lecturer has a podcast as well, talked about communication and talked about the number one phrase that people that are good at small talk use and the people who want to get better at it should use. And I'm going to give it to you, everybody.
Okay.
At the end of the show. No, I'm joking. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to give it to you right now. The favorite phrase is, tell me more. Tell me more. Most members of any family, most people that you know in your workforce and everything, you know, whether you have a good relationship with them or not, they are, you know, you're in an environment where you're sharing. And one of the key things that you could say in almost any conversation, tell me more. That's it. That's the phrase. And it's something that this is weird when we see this. Like when they interviewed people, 90 some percent of people agreed that this is the number one phrase to go to, especially if you don't have anything else to say, or if you don't know what to say, or if you're just
don't have a follow up question.
Yeah. You're just sitting there. Oh, no. Oh, you don't say. Really? Get out of here. Like, you know, if you're tired of saying some of those things, tell me more is one of those go to phrases.
Well, I think that in conversations like that, sometimes those of us that are responding to a question, you're kind of trying to do it in a give and take relationship of small talk of, okay, I've asked you a question, you've responded, now it's your turn to talk.
Yeah.
As opposed to being the constantly talking. I am of the type that if I'm in a small talk situation, I'm usually the one that's going to keep asking tell me more about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have these follow-up questions because then I don't have to talk.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I have mastered deflecting. Where you guys are in small talk, I'm very good at deflecting. The best communicators give support responses. That is another thing that came out of this article. Tell me more is a support response. It supports what the other person is saying. The opposite is a shift response, which is a statement that shifts the conversation back to you. We deal with this a lot I know I have in my life, where which is easy for helpful for people that don't necessarily want to talk about themselves like me. I don't mind it as much, but it is also a side of narcissism and a side of ego and a couple of other things oftentimes, where it's a person who cannot wait to tell you what their affected them or how they are or anything. Whereas a good communicator, according again to this article, is going to ask more, tell me more than I broke my leg. That's nothing. I broke both my legs last year. And I, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you broke your leg. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. You know, that's responsive. That's supportive and everything. And I don't know how much people care about these things necessarily anymore. But communication, I think, is incredibly important. Obviously, with what we do, it's our business. It's our jam is doing communication. But in day to day life, I think that we need to focus on it even more. I think we need even more attention to it. We've already gotten away from the from what words used to mean. We need to get back to that and listening to each other, making eye contact with each other. That's we keep looking and starving for ways to find and create more empathy in life. I just gave you two right there that we're supposed to do all the time anyway.
Well, and to be genuinely interested, I think, can go a long way. It makes it easy to engage in a conversation then, because you're actually listening with both ears and paying attention to what the person is saying. And you want to know more because you're genuinely interested.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Pam, could you smack him, please?
We appreciate the email. Thank you for putting up with me. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and do some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's coming up. Pam, Melissa, and James here with you on WFHR's Morning Show. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's when they open their doors again in the new year. Misty's will be closed for this week right here. They will be opening their doors again back on January 2nd, I believe. Let me double check. Yes, January 2nd. January 2nd. They will be open again, and they will be open on Wednesdays again. Keep that in mind, everybody. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries we want to celebrate with you. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Or you can email any of our staff here. You can, of course, call up 424-1300. Right. Get your birthday to Pam at the front desk.
Call me up during the day.
Mm-hmm. Direct message us on our Facebook pages. We always love that as well. Love hearing from you guys. Be sure to use our Facebook pages as well to post photos and pictures of different events and things going on in the area. Want to see more of that in 2024? Like to interact with you guys a lot more. So that's one of the ways we can do that through Facebook. So go ahead and do that. And there was another way. Smoke call. Signals. No, call. No, no. Call. Morse call. Code. No, no, call. No. Something like call. Calling.
Call the phone?
Phones. Jeez, phones. We use those still, right? We still use phones. Call up. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Of course, if you're listening to us on the Civic Media app, just a couple touches away from getting right to us.
One button dialing.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, I'm going to have to make you work a little bit here. I need a 1 through 3.
Ooh, let's go with 3.
All right, gives us that qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, want to wish a happy birthday to a former student and somebody who can't win because she's in Alabama, but wish a happy birthday to Raven Uptain.
Happy birthday, Raven.
Happy birthday.
Wishing you a good one. Enjoy your day. We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Mary Groteback.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Happy birthday.
Mary, enjoy. Hope it's a great day for you. And we wish a happy birthday to Dolores Ott, Linda Garsky's mom.
Aw, happy birthday, Dolores.
Happy birthday.
Wonderful lady. Wonderful lady. Incredible lady. We wish her the best of days. Enjoy your day, Dolores. And celebrating their 48th anniversary, Ray and Sue Onetsi are qualifiers.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Congratulations.
Yes. Happy 48th, Ray and Sue.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That's a lot of years.
God, that's beautiful. That's a really good one. I should see here, because I know 50, is 50 the diamond? No, 50 gold. Is gold. Right. Uh-huh,
right.
So sapphire was 45, 50 is gold, and then 55 is emerald diamond. Okay, 60 is diamond. There you go. Yeah.
Almost up to that golden
getting
number.
There. Getting there, you two. Yes. Hang in there and enjoy your anniversary, you guys. I say and celebrate all week. I celebrate all week, you guys, I say.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Let's take a look at our celebrity list of birthdays and anniversaries. Brock Purdy is 23. San Francisco 49ers starting quarterback Brock Purdy was the last pick in the NFL draft. And usually that is reserved for players that are probably not going to make the cut. Or if they do, they're usually a backup center or something like that. Mm-hmm. If you're a quarterback and you're drafted last in all of the NFL draft, chances are you are not going to make the team. Brock Purdy could end up being the MVP of the league. Like that's what this young man has done, what he has accomplished right here, from going from that position to getting an opportunity with one of the best teams in the NFL and literally taking the ball and running with it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. Also want to wish a very happy birthday to Hayley Williams, who is 34 today. Paramore, I think, lead singer.
Yeah,
lead singer for Paramore, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that band.
Good singer and songwriter.
I've listened to them a lot lately, though.
I haven't heard from them in a while either, but they were huge. They were for quite some time. you know they're huge if I know their band's lead singer, but I can't name you one song of theirs. And I don't say that as an insult. I say that as somebody who's not hip. I say that as somebody who's just not in on the know on a lot of pop music and everything. So happy birthday to her. A happy 27th birthday to, I think, the best young actor in the game, Timothy Chalamet. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. The rest of Hollywood does. This young man is just starred as a young Willy Wonka in Wonka. You saw him in Dune. You saw him in et cetera. Like, he is all over the place. The thing that I keep supporting and I like so much about him is the way he has been able to not only keep his feet on the ground. He's one of these guys, brings his mom to award ceremonies and those things. But you see him in interviews and you see him talking and you get this feeling from him. Watch an interview with Timothy Chalamet. Just watch one interview and you'll see what I'm talking about, I think. You see his work and the attention to detail he is paying at such a young age, the time and the work and the patience he's putting into this. I've only seen about two or three actors in my life that have done this at this age, what he has done, and where his star has gone. He's just incredibly good. He's very, very good. Yeah, he's handsome. There's no getting around that. He's a handsome kid. But I genuinely think that his looks don't matter when it comes to that skill level. I think he reminds me very much of Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio, one of the best young actors I'll ever see. You go ahead and watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape and tell me that's not one of the best young actors you've ever seen. Basketball Diaries, plenty of movies that Leo did back in the day, trying to kind of gain a little bit of respect because of he'd be on the cover of Teen Beat at like 22 or 25 and trying to get like serious roles and everything. But he's just a handsome face. Yeah, we're not gonna. We'll put him in the teen bopper movies and things, and we'll put him in rom coms. Well, if you had noticed, Leonardo DiCaprio never did any of those movies because he never wanted to be. He didn't want to keep giving into that kind of.
Didn't want to be just a pretty face.
Yeah, and kind of labeled as that. Timothy Chalamet learned from that, I think, and has done an incredible job of that while also understanding. Yeah, people are going to cast me because of this. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to
back it up with real talent.
Exactly. And if you need a laugh, watch him on Saturday Night Live. Oh, my goodness. He's so good on there. He's hilarious on there. Really looking forward to seeing the next thing he does. And Wonka, his most recent movie, doing very well.
Just came out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last week, I think.
It's been, during a week where a lot of movies have, a month where a lot of movies have not been doing well. That one is actually held up all right, done pretty good. Bill Goldberg is 56, WCW wrestler. For a long time, had a streak going of like 100 matches or something like that where he didn't lose a match. let's see. It's Nick Chubb is 27, a football player. Emily DeRaven, good actress, 41 for her. And let's see here. I was trying to see if there was where our list of people no longer with us. Where is that? My computer's not working too well, everybody. I apologize. Marlene Dietrich, born in the state in 1901, passed away in 1992, famous movie actress. That is going to do it for our list for today. That should wrap it up. But let's go ahead and one more time wish a very happy birthday to Mary Groteback.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Happy birthday to Dolores Ott.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dolores.
Enjoy your day, Dolores. And a very happy 40th anniversary to Ray and Sue on Netsy.
Happy anniversary.
Am I saying that right, Melissa? Pam, am I saying that last name right?
I believe so.
Let me take a look at that. I want to make sure to get that right.
Ray and Sue. Maybe it's Honesty.
Honesty?
Ray and Sue, call up and correct me.
715-424-2600. And that's the case anytime I get a name wrong. Please call up and join the conversation and correct me on the air. I don't mind. I really don't. More important to get the name
right.
Yes, really. Feel free to call up and join us, everybody. For now, we're going to go ahead and get to some state and local news. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about these top reasons your New Year's resolution is not going to make it. And how we can help you do that, how we can help you make it. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
The message is perfectly simple. The meaning is clear. Don't ever stray too far. And don't disappear. No, don't disappear. Ever had the feeling? Almost broken too.
Welcome back, everyone. morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little 80s to play Melissa, Pam, and I in. Not bad. Not bad. Let's go ahead and dive into a fun one here. I got a New Year's resolution in mind, and I may want to take a look at this list and see how it matches up against it here. See how it goes against it and what we can do to not only and make sure our resolutions come through, but what can be the defactor to why they don't. Why don't they? An early poll on New Year's resolutions found the easiest ones are practicing better hygiene and drinking some water. Anything harder takes motivation. And here are the top five excuses for not following through with a resolution. You want to dive into these and then we'll add some of our own to this list of things, reasons why we don't think they work or don't always happen. All right. The cost. Like you say you'll join a gym, then realize it could be expensive. I could see that being one of the factors.
Yeah, and sometimes once you join, you're stuck.
Yeah, yeah. You're stuck, or you're stuck with the guilt of not using that gym membership that you have. Yeah. Being too busy. That can definitely be
that's
one.
That's easy. I mean, that's an easy reason.
Get so,
life is so busy. We try to add something else in. Like, I'm going to exercise every day. Okay, where's that going to go?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you think just a short amount of time. Okay, let's start at 5 minutes a day of whatever it is that you're resolving to do.
Yeah. Not enough support from family or friends. That tends to be one of the biggest ones on this list of people saying of reasons why they don't accomplish them.
Well, that one's a little hard for me because that's you're asking for other people to dedicate time to your endeavor.
I think support and encouragement are very important. They cost cost nothing. They are great. But you can't, they cannot be the deciding factor for you.
Right.
You got to light the fire under yourself sometimes.
It's your own personal resolution, too.
Right. Yeah, great.
I can't blame, my brother Chris for the fact that I don't exercise every day like I resolve to. Why aren't you supporting me?
What's your New Year's resolution?
Text me every morning and tell me to do it.
Well, my New Year's resolution is our New Year's resolution. Like, no, that's not how it works. That's not.
Brothers, you're in this with me.
A general lack of motivation. That is number
That's
two.
A big one.
That is number two on the list of things that reasons why these things don't get done. I wanted to get to the rest of the list, but not really. I'm not really feeling it. Not really motivated. Not really.
Lacking the motivation there, James.
That's a tough one. Motivation is, I think, not even forget about New Year's resolutions and everything. I think that could be a really tough one. Just in general, yeah. And especially, I think, in the colder months, I think it is even harder to motivate us. I didn't feel like this when I was younger. I feel like when I was younger, I felt like I was stuck inside a lot more, and I was always looking for things to do and keep myself busy, and motivation didn't seem as much. I don't know. I feel like as great as my motivation is when it comes to work, when it comes to motivating me to do things for me, I'll get to it eventually.
Someday.
I don't know. That's that to me. I wonder if it's a case of not if it's motivation or if it's a case of self-motivation, motivating you for you, things about you. Maybe it may be the opposite for some. They have a hard time being motivated at work, but are a lot easier motivating themselves.
Well, and sometimes, too, it's the, okay, I want to do this because I know it's good for me and it will help me, but having the motivation to do it or to follow through with plans, that's part of the struggle too, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired all the time.
Yes Yes.
Well, James with good reason, because you don't sleep, but.
I bow out. Yes, you're right. What were you gonna say, Pam?
Well, with Melissa, I'm sure she's getting up quite early because of just your working hours.
That's an
true, but even just in general, like I don't know if it's just part of being the age that we are, or if it's the society that we live in, or what's the, because it's not just me that I'm hearing this from.
No.
Other my friends my age say similar things. Like, yes, I want to go out with friends, and I make these plans, but then when it comes time to follow through on the plans, I'm like,
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I could also just be sitting on my couch doing nothing.
Right.
Time
right.
to relax.
Yes.
Oh, I could go Sounds play like basketball. I could go play basketball with the guys, or I could watch basketball. Yes, yes. I think Pam brings up a really good point about you, Melissa, with your schedule. We don't have to get too into the weeds on this, but Melissa going to sleep early, getting up a lot earlier than even I do. And I, when I do sleep, I'm up around a little before 5 in the morning. Melissa's going way before that. So when you have a different schedule, even if you've been doing it for a couple of years, in our brains, I exercise at this time. I do this at this time. It can probably shift that around, mess that up a little bit, and take some time to kind of get into place, especially if you don't have the time to put it in place because we're all busy and we're all tired and not motivated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and lives change as we age. I mean, for people who have kids, every milestone, things change. And then by the time your kids get out of the house, then life completely changes. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who have changed careers over the years or, were in school, aren't in school, I mean, there's a lot of factors that lead into why we're tired and why we don't have motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the different chapters in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one here is you don't see results right away and get discouraged. This one a lot with weight loss. I hear this one a lot with like learning a new language. That's one that I have a lot of friends that have done over the years that want to do. And I check in with them at the middle of January, the end of January. Hey, how's it going learning Spanish or German or something like that? 9. That's it. That's all they got. It's one of those things where it can be a little discouraging. And especially when society continues to tell us everything's supposed to happen now. Everything's supposed to happen now.
Instant gratification. Mm-hmm.
I would like to see more of us approach life as Culver's. Culver's, they have great ingredients. They do it right. And do you wait a moment?
Time.
Have you ever been disappointed by that meal, though? Probably not. I know I have. I'll speak for myself. I have not. I've been going to Culver's for over 20 years and never had a bad meal. I will make.
Well,
I put my name on
that. Extra minutes that you got to wait for them to bring out your food is worth it.
Yes.
In comparison to other fast foods.
Look at that. It doesn't have to, you give something an extra couple of minutes and it gets done right instead of fast. I personally am more interested in being right than being the first to a take or the first to this breaking news. This happens all the time to us on the air. Mm-hmm. There's something breaking and there's a big story. I'll see it. During the commercial break, I'll do my run through of my reputable sources, my places that I know, okay, this is a real fact, this is really true, and then the next segment will come through with it. Sometimes we're the first with a story, like we were with the horrible Charlie Hobo situation some years back, the attack on the Paris newspaper. Bob and I were on the air. That story was breaking. Bob was talking. I was researching it while we were talking. The next segment, we were able to go with it, and we were the first people in the state to cover that story live on the air. Things like that are important, but you've got to be you got to back it up. You have to actually know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You have to do the homework on it. You can't just, oh my God, something happened.
Right. You got to know your source.
Right.
We need to. As a society, I think we need to get better about this, of what we ask. I don't blame businesses for this. I don't blame, the news for this or anything. They're only doing, I used to sit there as a kid and look at National Enquirer and all these newspapers. Why do they do this? Who, what is this for and everything? Mm-hmm. And as I get older and I realize, every time I'm passing those, there's one left. Because people are buying them, because people are using them. I get really bent out of shape about reality TV. I can't understand. Why is it so popular? Why is it so big? Well, why are these companies constantly putting out reality TV shows? Because people are watching them. Yeah, if we ask for it, the business world will answer it. If we say, mm-hmm. We want things on time, but we want them done right. Maybe we get a little bit more of that instead of instant, 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 and none of it good. 75% of people claim that they usually set a New Year's resolution. Another 12% said sometimes, but not always. And despite the excuses, we don't always fail. 83% said that they have had at least some success with a resolution before. That's a lot higher than I would have expected.
Hmm. Kind of me too, because I have never really been one for making New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I did when I was younger, and I can remember like a couple of them coming through. But as I couldn't tell you the last time I did this. I will say, I think that one of the key ways, and Katrina Hittner is going to join us on Friday's show, and we're going to talk a little more in depth about how to keep those New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
One of the things that I think is a big helpful part of this, to me at least, it seems, keep it to yourself.
That's true.
It doesn't. Not everything has to be broadcast. Not everything has to be put out there and everything. If this is, you know yourself better than anybody. If you're the kind of person where accountability does mean something and it's telling people, hey, I want to stop smoking. I want to lose 5 pounds or something like that. Maybe your friends and you know your support system. Maybe that's a good idea. Again, you know your support system. Maybe it's not a good idea to share it. Maybe it's something to just keep to yourself. If you don't accomplish it, it's just you that knows. And if you do accomplish it, it is one of those gifts you can give to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without the pressure of feeling guilty for letting other people down.
Yeah, yeah. Every Wednesday, we are joined by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing. We get our words out with them, and we're going to be joined by them right now. We got Phil Hartley joining us. Phil, good morning.
Uh-oh. Phil can't hear us.
Phil, can you hear me? Phil.
Oh, dear.
Phil, are you there, Phil? I am trying a couple of different things here. Phil, are you there? Phil, are you there, Phil? All right, phone's not working still. Excellent.
Oh, dear.
We will go ahead and take a look at that, and we'll come back and have some more fun. We do encourage you to check out Quality Plus Printing, especially as we're getting into the new year and got a lot of New Year's things going on. We'll see if we can have Phil join us, but you can join Phil right now. Their doors are open at 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Give them a call, 423-7440, 423-7440. Be sure to follow their Facebook page as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the good things going on with our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
He realized that she was new to love, naive in every way. Every schoolboy's fantasy she was. That's why he had to wait. If he poured his heart into a glass and offered it like wine, she could drink and be back in time with the morning paper.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, to the morning show. Hope you're enjoying it. We're having a good show today. Pam, Melissa, James here with you. Little Prince to play us in. I was just talking to Phil Hartley during our break there. He was hearing static, so he was having a hard time getting through. He wasn't hearing much. I told him if he wants to keep trying, that's great. We will keep trying these phones, 424-2600. For now, let's keep the show moving and diving into wedding etiquette. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, wedding season is not that far away.
That's what I found out, Melissa. I did not realize that, but came looking for different topics and different things for us to talk about. And certainly a lot of New Year's talk this time of year, but was looking for things that aren't just New Year's conversations. But I came in that I found out that, yeah, there's a lot of weddings planned for January, February. A lot of destination weddings happen to be planned in the beginning of the year. I didn't realize this. I'm 46 and I didn't realize that this was So we got this great article sent to us and wanted to dive into this one. What's the worst thing a guest can do at a wedding? A new survey looked at it, and you can, I think, guess a lot of these, but let's get into it. Here are the five rudest things a wedding guest can do. Number one, not RSVPing. Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
80%.
Yes. It mostly for meal planning.
Mm-hmm.
Or RSVPing that you would be there and then not. I mean, unless it's something terribly unforeseen,
right,
which you have no control over.
But that's a really good point. Yes.
Right.
The dress code is formal, but you dress casual, like showing up in jeans. 79% say it's inappropriate. Yeah.
It's a little rude, I guess.
I think that it matters. Like, this is something that bugs me a little bit about weddings. Your bank account is not the same as my bank account. Sometimes the expectation of certain things that, a family, you know that person, you know who you invited to your wedding, you know if they can afford or do some of these things. I had a friend in my early 20s, they did a destination wedding to Mexico. and asked me, you know, so you know, are you bringing somebody with you or not? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like, are you going to, you're getting married in Tampico? I ain't gonna be able to make it to Mexico. What are you talking about? I was like, oh, come on, you gotta go. You're gonna be there. I'm like, am I standing up? No, then I ain't gonna be there. I'm sorry. I would love to. He was a good friend of mine and everything, but I was in my mid 20s. I could afford a destination wedding in my mid 20s. Like, come on. Wearing something fancier or more extravagant than the couple. 77% of people say that that is rude.
Don't show up in a white dress.
I got to think, if you're doing that, you know what you're doing. I'm sorry. You there is not a person alive. I am one of the most unintelligent people in the world when it comes to weddings and all these things. And even I know you don't wear white to a wedding. There's one person wear white to a wedding, the bride. That's it. There shouldn't be.
Now we've moved away from that a little bit, but still.
I would think that if you had it, like you got a white dress or a white suit, whatever it is that you really want to wear, find out from the bride. Hey, you know, I don't need to know anything about the dress. What color is it? You know, I don't think that asking, I don't think that's doing too much. I think that's actually a very, you know, kind thing to do, it would seem like.
Considerate.
Again, I know nothing about weddings, so I have no idea. Getting too drunk, 74% said it's rude, 7% are neutral, 19% think it's fine, so 1 in 5 of us think you should expect drunk people at weddings.
Well, if you're offering free alcohol, you're taking that risk.
Yeah. If you have alcohol, if you don't live in a dry state, basically, you know, if you're having your wedding, if you're having your wedding, maybe in like parts of Utah, I don't know. Other than that, I'm not sure that you're going to be able to avoid this. If you're having a wedding in Wisconsin, good luck. Good luck with that one, because
seems like a standard.
I do think that there's a line in the sand, of course, of having a good time and you know, getting too out of hand and all that.
Not overindulging.
I also wonder if there was ever a point in history where they had drinking going on before the ceremony. I've always felt, am I alone on this one? The speak now or forever hold your peace. Like that being incorporated in such a traditional part of weddings. What was going on in weddings that they needed to have that in there? It feels like such a debris, like such a shift in conversation. Do you take this person to be? Do you take this person? Love, forever love. By the way, anybody got a problem with this? You know, now's the time. Now is the only time. After this time,
speak up,
no more.
Speak up, right?
Yeah. What was going on in weddings when they were first putting this together? That like, you know what? We better incorporate this. But we better have this in the wedding, because we've got so much of this. I wonder if it was there were people drinking during the wedding and then they had to incorporate that. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Never gave that a thought, though. But
Leave it to me. Leave it to me. Don't
well, it comes from the Book of Common Prayer.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yep.
That would answer that. All right.
Because it's, should anyone present know of any reason that this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Wouldn't, you know, if like, especially if it's a relative or a friend of mine, and that's when they decide to, like, you could have said something beforehand. Like you didn't have to wait until right now to say something. You could have said something long beforehand.
First published in 1549.
Wow. That's incredible.
Oh, wow.
1549 we've been doing that since. Wow. That's really cool, actually. Thank you for looking that up, Melissa.
Must have had reasons that they got that going then.
Yeah. I in my head, I like the idea of, like, every wedding up until then always had this. Like, a couple people in the back, no, I got a problem with this. Yeah, like, they don't work. I'm sorry. They don't work. The top vote-getters are asking guests to pay for their own meal. The bride's dress showing too much skin. This is as far as, I'm sorry, the poll also looked at most inappropriate things couples can do.
Oh, okay.
So asking guests to pay for their own meal, the bride's dress showing too much skin, not allowing a plus one, and making people pay for their drinks. So open bars are still very popular.
The first and the last ones I don't have an issue with.
I mean, then
maybe you make the meal optional.
The bride should wear what the bride wants to wear.
Oh, yeah. Right. I agree with that.
I think. And that includes the color of the dress or anything else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not allowing a plus one if you are having a smaller wedding, I get that, you know?
Yeah, especially if you were paying for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You're paying for the drinks and paying for the meal.
I do think I do prefer, and, you know, to each their own. I do think it should be one or the other. You either have them pay for the meal or pay for the drinks or one or the other. Or if you're going to, I mean, bless you if you can do both free. But charging for both goes back to, again, okay, but there's a lot of people who are probably not going to go to your wedding. Because
charging
they're not,
for the meal? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've only heard of it a couple of times.
I think it's a more recent phenomenon.
Yeah, I'm not going to that wedding. Unless it's literally one of my children, I'm not going to that. I have no interest in that. No.
Sometimes open bar would be only certain beverages.
Yes.
Right. They have a keg of beer. Mm-hmm. That's the free.
Yeah,
I often say, like, the only way I'm going to drink light beer is if it's free at a wedding.
Last few stats. The most popular old school wedding traditions today are the father-daughter dance, the father giving the bride away, the mother-son dance, the groom asking for the dad's blessing, and tossing the bouquet. Least popular by far is the bride vowing to obey her husband. Only 15% think we should keep that tradition. 15% is way high to me. That is a very high number. This whole article you can find at YouGov. A shout out to our friends at YouGov. Do some really good reporting. We don't even think we need to get into that one. That needs to be out of there. I don't think it should be either way. Man, woman, nobody should be obeying anybody. You're in a partnership here. You're forming a team. You are not. This isn't a dictatorship or a hierarchy. You're joining right now, as far as weddings go. From what I understand, again, not my wheelhouse.
and I agree with that. It shouldn't be. One should not be subservient to the other. You're in a partnership.
I like some of these old school traditions that are still around, though. I do like the father-daughter dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like the mother-daughter, the mother-son dance. I like all of those. Yeah, those are always fun. And I have been engaged three times. I've been engaged three times in my life. And every time I asked for a blessing, but it was always the mom. Each time it was there was a situation with the father, one thing or another, where it just made more sense to ask the mom. The mom was the one that the blessing meant something from. And thankfully, each time, three for three. I've been married once and divorced once, so I don't know how good my stats are, my batting average is with this or anything. But I think that to me is one of the cooler traditions there exists. Just generally. I'm not saying that you ask, they say no. Okay, honey, we can't get married. I don't mean that. I think that it's one of those things that is more of a respect thing and a way of trying to show that you want to be a part of this family and you want that family to be a part of yours. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much that exists anymore. I couldn't tell you the last time I heard somebody ever even talking about that.
Well, yeah, I think it's important to have that communication and know that, yeah, of course we want you to marry our son or our daughter or, you know, whatever it is. But involvement in... Sorry, my brain went down the track of reading on father-in-laws or mother-in-laws who came to Christmas and ruined your knives or ruined your meat. For some reason, I went that way.
Okay, all right.
That's a whole nother topic. Huh?
Yeah.
Another topic.
I want to get into that, though. That sounds interesting. I want to know more about that.
Don't sharpen other people's knives is pretty much what it boils down to.
Yeah, who's doing that? Oh, that's a party foul right there. That's a kitchen foul. I don't know what word you want to use for that, but that doesn't seem right. No, that does not seem like a good idea. I saw this one I wanted to touch on that I thought was kind of interesting just the other day. The world's largest Rubik's Cube was built in Dubai.
Oh.
How big are we talking about?
So let's see here. They did this to celebrate the 20th anniversary of creating the Rubik's Cube. No, it can't be. All right. So Dubai Knowledge Park celebrated its 20th anniversary by creating the world's largest Rubik's Cube. Okay.
Aha, the park's anniversary.
Yes. I was going to say the Rubik's Cube's got to be a lot older than 20 years. So, which is the home to 700 schools and other educational institutions, built a functional puzzle cube measuring 9.8 feet on each side.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
How do they move it?
The fiberglass.
Careful,
Nicely done, you two. The fiberglass cube weighs in at more than 660 pounds. Dubai Knowledge Park said on a social media post, the cube was built to mirror the approach to lifelong learning at Dubai Knowledge Park, which every step represents a new skill acquired. The puzzle was examined by Guinness World Records officials and confirmed to be the largest Rubik's Cube in the world.
Wow.
Oh.
New world record.
I think that they may have, whether they realize it or not, I think they also may have stumbled onto a new way of playing board games and of doing these things. Like a lot of the things that we used to love, like the, remember the Slinky?
Oh, yes. And you see it go down the steps.
Yeah. That never worked for me, by the way. It would go like two steps and stop.
Two steps, yeah.
Oh, you too? Yeah, okay. I always thought I was doing
it. I never had one.
Oh, okay. I thought I was doing it wrong. I thought I was doing, like, I don't know how you
what's
mess
wrong
up
with
a slinky.
This slinky? Take it back to the store. My slinky does not operate.
My slinky's defective.
Yeah.
I got a defective slinky.
When the metal gets twisted. Or kinked a little bit because your brothers were playing with it and tangled it all up.
Oh, yeah. That'll do
that
it.
That's why. That's what happens.
I like the idea of a gigantic life-size, like, chutes and ladders. Like, I want more of these. I want a life-size Candyland. Things like that.
It's become kind of a little bit more of a fad with these lawn games that we have that are, like, big-sized now.
Mm-hmm.
Like checkers and chess. I've seen big chess boards in places where they're, you know, as big as a toddler, like the pieces. They're light enough to move around. I saw one at the Central Wisconsin Airport. They have one set up in the waiting area.
Yeah. Okay. We are going to get out of here for a second, get to some CBS state and local news. We come back, nothing but fun. Great things lined up for you on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.